This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah. Bismillah. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I ask Allah رب العالمين أرحم الراحمين to bless us with His mercy, to heal our hearts and bodies, and to bring Him closer to Him سبحانه وتعالى. As announced, this series inshallah will focus on depression. What is it? Why does it happen and how can we treat it? And as much as we can, inshallah, in this series, I'm not going to make it a technical, theoretical discussion of depression. Because in my mind, the immediate audience of this series are those who are struggling with depression at this moment. Or they have loved ones who are struggling with depression. So a technical discussion is not going to be the things that they're going to be looking for, that we are looking for. A technical or abstract discussion, inshallah, will be delayed to another course that we'll offer, inshallah, later on for an in-depth analysis of depression. But right now, we want to know what is depression and how we can fix it, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. So this is the purpose of this series. And I hope, inshallah, that you would find it useful. The first question that we want to ask ourselves is, am I depressed? Is someone who's going through something at this moment, or you know somebody else who's going through it, and you wonder, are they depressed? Am I depressed? What is the definition of depression? And to be honest with you, right, it's not so easy to define depression. I know, because trying to box in human emotions and reaction and psychology is very complicated and difficult. Humans are far more complicated psychologically than they are biologically. And there are problems with definitions anyway, but that is a technical discussion. So we're not going to go into that. But for our purposes today, if we want to define depression, we'll define it as prolonged state of sadness and loss of hope that affects person's life negatively, a prolonged state of sadness, right? So we're not talking here about somebody who wakes up and they feel sad for a day and then it goes away. They feel down for a couple of days and then it goes away. We're talking about something that is prolonged. And psychiatrists or psychologists, some of them, they come up with a period of 2 weeks, 14 days consecutively, where you're having that feeling. Well, that's convention. But what I think is the most defining feature of depression, when someone is actually suffering, languishing under depression, is loss of hope and how that affects the rest of their life. So if there is hope, there is no depression. And when you start losing hope that whatever situation you are in, whatever feeling you have, you lose hope that that is going to go away, that is a sign of depression. Plus also, it affects the rest of your life. So what does it affect? It affects the quality of your life. You don't enjoy food anymore. You can't sleep, or you oversleep. Your relationship suffers. Your work suffers. Your study suffers. You basically don't have a zest or a desire for life anymore. When that happens and your quality of life degrades because of that feeling, then we can say, and we say it's consistent and for a long time, we can say that this is depression. And an image, inshallah, that may help us understand what it feels like is, it's like falling into a pit, like a deep hole, and it's dark and it's black, and you look for an exit, and sometimes you want to escape, but you don't find an exit, you don't find an escape, you don't know how to exit that feeling. You feel trapped. And sometimes in some people, they even lose hope that there's ever an exit, that there's ever an escape. That's what depression feels like. You're in this pit and it's dark and you're alone and you don't know how to escape. You want to, but you don't know how to escape. And eventually, maybe you even give up on the idea that there's even a way out. So you just sit in despair. And that is why it's important to talk about depression. Why talk about it? Is it important to talk about depression? Well, it seems that a lot more people are struggling with depression these days. And when we go, inshallah, through the causes, we'll understand why that's the case. I mean, if we understand depression as human emotions and reactions to things that are happening to us, we can say that people throughout history must have experienced or understood what depression was like. So I remember a story that I read, and this is about a Khalifa, an Umayyad Khalifa, you know, from the Umayyad period. And, you know, just recounting the stories to understand that it happens and it could happen. And this is a Khalifa, male, strong. So you understand what it takes to be a Khalifa and to remain a caliph. You have to be a strong man. So anyway, his beloved died in his palace. And he couldn't take that. He couldn't, you know, tolerate or understand or process the fact that she is gone. So he would not bury her. And he didn't let anybody touch her. No one can, you know, wash her, shroud her, and take her and bury. He kept her in the palace. And he stayed in the palace and he did not leave. And then elders from his family came to him and they talked to him and they said, listen, she's not here anymore. The body is here, but that is just a shell. The soul is somewhere else. And honoring the dead, if you really love her, honoring the dead is to bury them. So allow her to be buried and you'll meet her again. And they continued to counsel him until he decided to let them bury her. And he regained his function and normality. But such a story tells you that these things happen, and they could happen to strong men and to strong women. So it happens, and it's a reality, but there's more of it today, as we said. And because we're struggling with it, and as we are struggling with it, we don't know what to do with it. Where do we go with our problems? Where do we go to seek counseling? Who can help us with that? And there's also a stigma associated with it in some places and in some countries. So if you tell someone or if you go to a therapist in some places or if some people know about it, it means that there's something wrong with you. Something fundamentally is wrong with you. So you hide it and you continue to struggle alone and in silence. And that only exasperates worsens the situation. So we need to remove that stigma. And by talking about it, inshallah, we remove the stigma, but we also tell each other how we can overcome this ordeal or this state of mind that overtakes us and could actually paralyze us. And another thing, inshallah, is to keep in mind, and this is really important, even when you find a therapist, and there's not a lot of them anyway, but even if you find a therapist, a lot of their work is not grounded on belief in Allah Azza wa Jal and on belief in the unseen. So you may go to a therapist and they may be able to help partially. But still, because Allah is not part of whatever they're doing and is not part of their therapy, it still will be lacking, fundamentally lacking something important. And it actually could misguide eventually. So if you're actually, and this is a quick advice, if you are going to find a therapist for your condition, make sure that you find someone who's at least compatible with your Islamic beliefs. And best that they be Muslim, who are practicing Muslim, so they have an understanding of how to treat this condition, but at the same time, understand Allah Azza wa Jalla and what He loves and what He hates, and they can present that to you. That's really important to keep in mind. But there's not a lot of those available. So we need to learn also for ourselves how to deal with this thing. So, as I said, we need to talk about it in order to remove the stigma and to deal with it. And also, we need to understand an important thing. Do believers suffer from depression? The mu'min, the Muslim, do we suffer from depression or not? Is it a lack of faith when I'm depressed? So let's approach this question in the following way. Let's ask the following question. Do healthy people get sick physically? Do healthy people get sick? And the answer is yes, obviously. Okay, when do we get sick? If we're healthy, when do we get sick? Whenever the illness is, when it overwhelms us, our defenses, our immune system, when it overwhelms us, we become sick. That's a definition, right? In a very simplistic way, the definition of physical illness. It overwhelms us. We can't fight it off. And so we become sick, right? Viral infection, bacterial infection, whatever it is. Depression is similar to that. That is, all of us have this reservoir of iman, like this pool of iman, a bank of iman. But also our iman goes up and it goes down, goes up and it goes down. And as we live, we are encountering daily the whispers of the shaitan, stressors of life, right? Worry, sadness, the daily grind, just the basic daily grind. And it affects us and it weighs us down. Now, if our iman is high, we can deal with all of that. And we'll be okay, inshallah. It's a struggle, but we can deal and we can triumph. But our iman is not always high. Isn't that the case? Sometimes, many times we are weak. Many times our iman is lacking. And so what happens is that if these things happen, if all of these things combine, plus a trauma hits us at a low point when our iman is weak, it will affect us. And it will seep into or enter our hearts and it will enter our minds. And we will be depressed, or depression may start, the onset of depression. Now, if we catch ourselves at that moment and increase our iman, if we're really watchful, maybe we'll be able to overcome that. But sometime the trauma is too strong, the conditions are too negative. And also what happens is, even as believers, subhanAllah, all of us, on many of us, so I don't generalize, let's at least say many of us, we have things that we have left unresolved. Things from our past, things in our present, negative feelings about ourselves, about our abilities, about our mistakes in the past that we really haven't dealt with. But we pushed them to the side and we continue to live. When something bad happens, these things tend to resurface. All the doubts, all the misgivings, all the regrets of the past, they tend to resurface. So if you have those things resurfacing, plus the trauma, plus negative daily influences, you could actually become depressed. So we say, yes, a believer can get depressed. And we'll understand, inshallah, shortly, depression, that it's an affliction. But a believer can get depressed. And it is our responsibility, inshallah, when we see someone depressed, to assist, not to condemn. Like if I tell somebody who's depressed, and this is a habit that some people have, when they see somebody depressed, they say, oh, it's because of your sin that you're depressed. It's because of your lack of iman that you're depressed. It's because you're not close to Allah that you are depressed. When we say these things, we're blaming the victim at a time when they are the weakest. And this is really very unhelpful because they already have negative feelings about themselves. So I go and beat them down and say, it's because of you that you're feeling bad. They'll take that, they will believe it, and they will be even more depressed because of it. So I'm not really helping when I'm saying these things. Am I intending this as an advice or condemnation? They need, if I'm depressed, I need your sympathy, not your condemnation. I need your assistance, not to be berated. So to keep that in mind, inshallah, when you're talking or approaching someone who is depressed, how you talk to them is really important, and you have to be very sensitive. Also, right, when we see someone who is depressed and we say, just read the Quran and it will go away. Just make dhikr and it will go away. We have to understand on one point, on one hand, that yes, the Quran and dhikr is a cure. And we'll be talking about this, inshallah, in the next session, next week, inshallah. But at the same time, right, an offhand advice like this may not be very helpful. Because you're talking to someone who, if they're actually depressed, it'll be very difficult for them to do anything. To open the Quran and read would be very difficult for them. They may not believe that anything will be helpful, right? And even you don't know how they will process reading the Quran. So they need more assistance than an offhand remark like that. Just simply read and you'll be okay. In one sense, it's true. In another sense, they need a lot more than this, right? But yes, believers do get depressed. Why? Because as I said, depression is an affliction. It's a test. We get tested physically, right? We get tested physically by losing loved ones, by losing money, by physical failures in life. That's a physical test. But we also get tested emotionally and psychologically. And maybe a lot of us are not aware of that. That is when you become sad. That is a test. That's hardship. That's an affliction that Allah Azza wa Jal rewards you for if you are patient. When you become anxious about the future, over your kids, about your job, that also is a state of mind, an emotion that you have that Allah will reward you for. And the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is clear about that, and we'll talk about that inshallah later. Just we'll share with you something beautiful that Sufyan al-Thawri said, just to, again to affirm that this is an affliction. So he said, Sufyan al-Thawri, he's a scholar, a great Muslim scholar, and he had seen many of the tabi'een. What did he say, rahimahullah? He said, balaghana, we have heard, wallahu a'lam, anna akthara ma yajidu al-mu'minu min hasanatihi fi sahifatihi yawm al-qiyamah al-hammu wal-hazan. He says, we have heard, and Allah knows best, that most of the good deeds that a believer finds on the Day of Judgment in their book is sorrow and anxiety or worry. Sorrow and worry. That is, he's saying, rahimahullah, that a lot of people, when they will see Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment and they will be handed their book and they open their book, many of their hasanat, and he's saying for some, most of their hasanat will be what? That they were sad and worried, sad and worried, sad and worried, meaning that they got afflicted with all of this. They got tested with all of that. But each moment like that, each hour like that is good deeds with Allah Azza wa Jal and takes away your sins. And that dramatically will alter your understanding of depression or psychological anguish. It's not that you're being punished. It's not that you necessarily, not that you're being hated or Allah Azza wa Jal had left you and abandoned you. No, this is a test. And the source of that test will understand that the source of that test many times is the shaitan. We'll talk about this inshallah next time. To fundamentally understand how to fight it, you have to understand the causes, isn't it? So when you understand that it's an affliction, you understand it also to be a way where Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to come closer to Him and taste the sweetness of Iman, because when you are struggling with something, you turn to Allah. Sometimes this is physical, And sometimes this is what's psychological and emotional. So when you're worried and when you're sad, this is a way for you to come back to Allah Azza wa Jal, right? And I remember one story that it's in the hadith. Again, to kind of reinforce the fact that it's happened to people before and they were pious and how they dealt with it. There's a story, and as I said, it's in a hadith, and you'll find it in This Is Love, the book. This Is Love, my book, This Is Love. And it's really, I love that story because it just shows you different aspects of the Sahaba, of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That story is what? There was a man, and he used to attend the halaqa of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Prophet would have a halaqa, and he would teach, and that man would frequent it. He would, you know, continuously be present in the halaqa of the Prophet. And this man had a young boy that he loved immensely. And that boy would come to the halaqa, would hug his father from behind. It says that in the hadith, he would hug his father from behind. Father's sitting, facing the Prophet. He would hug him from behind. And then that man would carry that boy, sit him in his lap, kiss him and hold him while the Prophet ﷺ is speaking, giving the halaqa. A scene you probably have seen in the masjids or around relatives, but this happened in the halaqa of the Prophet around him ﷺ. After some time, the Prophet had noticed that this man stopped coming to the halaqa. So he asked the rest of the sahaba, what happened to that man who had his son come to the halaqa? And they said, O Prophet of Allah, you do not know? He said, no. He said, he lost his son. So he's just sitting home. He lost his son. He's just sitting home. He didn't leave his house. And before that, the Prophet ﷺ had asked him, I want you to just understand the attachment he had to that boy. The Prophet had asked him, he said, do you love him? Do you love that boy? He knows, of course, that he loves him. But he says, do you love him? He said, O Prophet of Allah, may Allah love you as much as I love that boy. And this is how intense his love for his boy was. May Allah love you as much as I love this boy. This is like the dearest thing that he had in his life. So when he lost him, he just stayed home. He even didn't come to the halaqa of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was that difficult for him. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes to him. And he says, oh, so and so. He consoles him and all of that. And he says, choose, which would you choose? That he would still be alive with you, this boy that you love so much, that he would still be alive with you right now, or that when you die and you go to the hereafter, you'll find him standing at the door of Jannah, waiting for you to hold you by your hand so that he will take you into Jannah, so that both of you will be in it. Which one would you would want for yourself? He said, O Prophet of Allah, that he would be waiting for me and takes me by the hand into Jannah. I prefer that. He says, well, that is for you. You got it. Another Sahabi was listening and he said, O Prophet of Allah, is that only for him or for all of us? He says, all of you. He says, all of you. That, and I'm not going to get into solutions of, you know, how to treat depression, but that is really significant. That is really powerful. So if you believe, right? If you believe that there is something good that's going to come out of any affliction that you face, you'll be able to triumph and overcome by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Even the loss is someone as dear to you as that man losing his son. But he had iman. And of course, he needed that support. He needed that push because even with his iman, even being a sahabi, it affected him. So it can, subhanAllah, with as much iman that we have, subhanAllah, you never know. Something like this could happen and could affect us in ways that we did not expect. So you ask Allah Azza wa Jal for his protection and for safety. But just know that every hardship, physical, emotional, that you go through is a test from Allah Azza wa Jal, including when you feel down and depressed. It's a test. Understand it as such and we need inshallah to treat it as such. Now, let me talk inshallah about the causes of depression. And why talking about causes is important, because when you understand the cause, we're planting the seeds for solutions. Even though we're not talking about solutions today, that's for next week. But when you understand the cause, you understand the seeds of solutions, right? So let's understand the causes. And I'll try inshallah to include as many as I can. I'm going to divide them into general causes that affect everybody, weighs everybody down, everybody without exception. General ones, and then more specific ones. So the general ones, modernization. And you're going to tell me, oh my God, this is getting complicated. No, not really. What I mean by that is the more modern or modernized a city or a state is, the more likely that it will be depressed. And there are studies correlating modernization with increased risk for depression. Now, why does this happen? So that we're, you know, talking about something concrete. Why is this happening? Because when you modernize, what do you have? You have weaker social connections. We get separated. The more modern a country is, we get separated into smaller apartments, away from our parents, grandparents, children, uncles, cousins. We don't connect with each other. We don't even know our neighbors. So when you don't have social connections, you don't talk to other people. You don't have their support. You feel lonelier because of it. And if you remember, and we all remember, being trapped during lockdown in our apartments, it got us more depressed because we couldn't talk to people, communicate with them. So the more that you modernize, the less that you connect with people. And so it does increase your risk for depression. We need to talk to people and we need their support. Also, in a more modernized context, what happens is that more competition, more pressure. You need to earn more. You need to accomplish more. Commuting, securing schools for your children, worrying about their future, et cetera, et cetera. So there's more pressure to earn and to accumulate and as societies modernize. There's also comparisons, competition and comparison, especially with social media. I mean, there are studies that shows that the more that you spend time on social media, the more that you feel depressed. But even without that, the more that you compare yourself in a materialistic, modernized setting, the more that you compare yourself to other people, the more depressed that you feel. So if there's this pressure on you to achieve, and you look at your neighbor, you look at a relative, and they have more than you, it makes you depressed. If there's pressure on you to get promoted, to be advanced in your career, you look at somebody else who achieved more, you'll be depressed. Comparisons and materialistic living makes us all of us, no exception, all of us more likely to be depressed. Strangely also, right, kind of modernity also, what it did is that it gave us more free time. So some of us are suffering because we don't have free time. Some of us are suffering because we have a lot of it. And when you have a lot of free time, and you don't know what to do with it, you feel empty. You feel without a goal. You feel that there is no meaning in it. So especially with the young, if you find yourself depressed, look at your life and see, do you have goals in it? Is there any meaning in it? Or do you just simply have a lot of time that you waste, a lot of free time that you waste? That's also another reason. So if there are lack of goals, or meaning in life, that increases the risk of feeling depressed. Luxury and lack of a challenge. If you live a life where you're not challenged, if you have everything that you have, then the question is, what's left? So lack of a challenge. You always need something to challenge you. You always need a goal. So if modern society has created a context where we're not challenged anymore, then also we're more likely to be depressed. You may be aware of this or not. This is general. We're going to go to the specific, inshallah, but general conditions. Bad diet. Actually, eating unhealthy food can increase your risk for depression. And there's a field of study that is called nutritional psychiatry, where you will eat healthy to feel better. Now you're saying, when why are we talking about these things? You know, because all of these factors, right, when they come together, even if this is a small thing, when they come together, they can increase the chances of you and I being depressed. So you want to stack the odds for us, not against us. So I want to know, inshallah, all the causes, all the conditions that can promote depression, so I would avoid them. So diet also could play a factor. We'll, inshallah, so keep that in mind. And when we're going to be talking about solutions, we'll also talk about that as well. Sedentary lifestyle and lack of exercise. So modern society, we're all indoors in cubicles. We don't move. We don't exercise. What does that have to do with feeling better? Or what does that have to do with feeling depressed? Have you exercised or engaged in physical activity and after that felt better? If so, this is because the body releases neurotransmitters, endorphins, dopamine and serotonin. And when that happens, you feel better. And when you don't get that secretion, not as much of it. So we're all sitting, behind desks in front of computers. We don't move, we don't exercise. So that also increases our factor the chances of getting depressed. And also we're not exposed to the sun as much. And I know this may seem like a tiny factor, but for some people it's not. You're aware of the seasonal affective disorder, where there are some people actually, when fall comes, when winter comes, they feel more depressed, okay? You feel more depressed because the sun is not out there. And again, it has to do with hormones in the body and lack of balance, melatonin and serotonin. So it affects your mood when you're not exposed to the sun as much, when you spend a lot of time indoors versus outdoors. So this is what the general factors. Let's talk about some specific factors. Before the specific factors. One important general factor in modern society that leads to increase in depression, and this is really important, it is lack of religion in society. When you take religion out, right? When you take God, Allah Azza wa Jalla, out of society, what happens to society is that it suffers. First, there is lack of barakah. You know, take Allah Azza wa Jalla out of anything, right? And replace it with materialism and entertainment, and that's it. So modern society, popular culture, is God there? Is Allah Azza wa Jalla there? Is he discussed? Do we remember him when we engage in popular culture, when we talk about it, when we hear it, when we receive it? No. On social media? No. So when you take from modern society, you take God, you take Allah Azza wa Jalla out and replace it with commercialism, what happens? There is no barakah anymore. And you take barakah out of society, what do you get? You get political problems, you get economic problems, social problems, but also psychological and emotional problems. More depression in that society because Allah Azza wa Jalla is not in it. And also when you remove Allah, God, from the center of a society, what happens? There is no reference and there is no meaning anymore. That is, I don't remember anymore, right? Meaning in my life. You've taken meaning out of it. If I suffer, I don't see any meaning in that suffering. There's nothing to anchor me and society in anything that is stable. So nothing reminds me of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Nothing reminds me that if I lose something, I'll gain it back when I meet Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I will be compensated. Nothing reminds me to be patient. Nothing consoles me. Completely taken Allah out, and you've left me to myself. And if you leave us to ourselves, we just simply collapse. That's why there's a greater prevalence of depression in these days compared to the past. people in the past, they got sad, they got depressed, but not at a similar frequency of us today. Why? Because we've taken Allah Azza wa Jalla out of our societies. We don't talk about Him. We don't see evidence of Allah's power, and we don't talk about Allah Azza wa Jalla. So we are left to ourselves. We rely on ourselves. And that is a disaster. So let's talk, inshallah, about specific causes. Specific causes like what? And some of these causes will read, or you will think of them as examples. Because I wanted to include as many of them as possible, so that if a person is going through something, they can find it, they can identify with something that I've said here. Okay, they can say, yeah, this is what I'm feeling. This is the cause right here. I hear myself in what you're saying. So this is what I'm hoping. So trauma, a specific trauma that has happened to you and me, like loss of a loved one, or a perceived failure, and you can't process each. You lose someone and you can't process, you can't handle the fact that you lost them. Or you failed in something and you can't, or you think that you failed in something and you can't process the fact that you failed. And as we said, it just triggers other things that have been latent, hidden, self-doubt, self-loathing, something that you haven't processed, and it all comes to the surface. So trauma becomes like a trigger, and there's like this explosion of negativity, and then there's an onset of depression. So that is one possibility. Separation from loved ones, and you cannot connect with them, be close to them, and the more that this happens, the more that it persists, the more depressed that you feel. Fewer social connections, that is, you don't have friends around. This is something that takes a while for it to develop. You don't have friends, you don't have family, you retreat into your own self, and you rely on what they call low return activities, like just simply sitting and watching TV, disconnecting from everybody else, sitting and going online, watching YouTube videos or being on social media. It doesn't give you a lot in return. It's not really like talking to a living, breathing human being, interacting with them. So you retreat into that and you diminish because of it. And then that eventually could lead to depression. It's a possibility. Feeling trapped. Because you're in a job and you hate that job and it's so unfulfilling. And you feel that this is your life now. And it lacks meaning. Or feeling trapped in a relationship, whatever that relationship may be. And again, you feel that there's no way out. And it just sucks out the meaning and joy out of your life. And again, remember that what I believe to be the defining feature of depression is lack of hope. So just connect all of these things to lack of hope. Whatever a person is experiencing, it's triggering lack of hope, that this is it and I cannot escape it. So being trapped in a relationship, that's a possibility. Being trapped because of financial debt and there is no escape, that could cause depression as well. Or basically the daily grind, waking up in the morning, going to work, coming back, eating dinner, sleeping, repeat, repeat, repeat. And you're slowly starting to feel that this is life and I'm just not finding joy in life anymore. That's a possibility, right? So it's not always something dramatic that happens. Sometimes it sneaks up on you and you don't feel it coming. Sometimes it's feeling overwhelmed, new responsibilities, promotion. That can be a cause of anxiety for some people. Promotions, a baby is on the way, and you don't feel ill-prepared for all of that. So you could be depressed, especially when you think that you're not ready for it and you doubt your own abilities. You could be depressed because of all of that. As we said, loss of hope in the future. It's just always going to be bitter. It's always going to be dark. Nothing I can do will change it. And that is the dominant feeling, and you can't shake it off. You can't escape it. Right? General feeling of emptiness, right? Basically that nothing I do matters, and nothing I do will change my reality or the future or et cetera, et cetera. There is no purpose and there is no goal, and you can't find anything to latch on to, so that you would find meaning in life. If you find it unsatisfying and unmeaningful, that is terrible, and that is something that, you know, actually is very depressing, right? And you find that, you know, I mean, again, not to generalize, but you find it sometimes with those who are younger and sometimes with those who are older, right? Lord. Negative thoughts about yourself that you have not been able to process, yet they haven't been able to push away. And this could be coming or generating from low self-esteem, from bad past experiences, from fear of failure, or simply whispers of the shaitan. And whispers of the shaitan are important in generating these negative thoughts about yourself and about your reality and about your future. And we'll be, inshallah, addressing that, the source and how to deal with them, inshallah, next week. But when you recognize that these negative thoughts are either generated by the whispers of the shaitan or amplified by the shaitan, you begin to understand a way to treat them and to counter them, right? And finally, the last one that I have is genetic disposition. It's a possibility that if it runs in the family, that you may be more disposed to it. Now, it doesn't mean, but what does it mean runs in the family? Means that you find out that maybe some members of your family are depressed. Parents, grandparents, uncles, cousins, you find it that it's around you. More so in your family than other families. It could be, okay, it's not certain, but it could be that it runs more in your family than in other families. Possibility, but that does not mean that you have to have it. Does not mean that you are more, that you will be depressed. It may mean, underline may, it may mean that you're more likely, you're predisposed to it than other people, but you may never be depressed. Because you can, inshallah, monitor your mood, your condition, your iman, your thoughts about yourself, your thoughts about the future, and your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal, and avoid all of that. It's possible. So this is what I, alhamdulillah, this is what I wanted to say for today. I only wanted to talk about defining what depression is and the causes of depression. Now, a couple of things, inshallah, I want to say before we conclude. I do want to receive your questions, inshallah, but I'm not going to answer your questions now. What I want to do with these questions, and I will tell you where to send your questions, what I want to do with these questions is collect all of them and help, inshallah, those questions will help me fashion and design next week's lecture and the one that will follow. And I don't want to answer your questions right now because also I may be answering them automatically next week. So let's just wait as these lessons develop. But I do want to receive them if you have them. I do want to receive them. Where to send your questions, inshallah? Send your questions, first of all. You can send it to an email. I posted it on the live chat on YouTube, healingandspirituality@gmail.com. healingandspirituality@gmail.com. You can email it there. That's one path of sending your question. The other one is YouTube. After this video is published, inshallah, in the comment section, write your questions. In the comment section, not in the live chat, but in the comment section, write your questions. Or, of course, on Facebook. What I'll do, inshallah, is that I will collect all of these questions
The ones that will be answered automatically, inshallah, in the lecture, I'm not going to spend time answering them at the conclusion. But I will dedicate, inshallah, if we have them, I will dedicate a time to answering all of your questions at the end of our sessions. So the plan, inshallah, is to have three sessions. So we did the first one. By the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Hamdan Kathiran, Tayyiban Mubarakan Fi. Because I wanted to do this for a long time. And I hope that you found it helpful. And if you did, please share it, especially with someone that you think is going to benefit from it, someone who needs it. Next week, inshallah, we'll talk about treatment. Okay? Based on the causes, we'll start talking about the treatment, inshallah. And then afterwards, we'll be talking about prevention and maintenance. How to prevent depression and how to maintain a state where you, inshallah, will not be depressed if you actually were depressed before. So again, inshallah, I do want to receive your questions. Email them, YouTube comments, or on Facebook. And inshallah, we'll collect all of them. It will help me design next week's lecture, but also, inshallah, whatever ones need to be answered at the conclusion, I'll answer them, inshallah, at the last session we will have. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khaira. I wanted it actually to be 45 minutes. Alhamdulillah, Allah made it so that it's only 45 minutes because I did not want this to be too heavy. But anyway, jazakumullahu khaira for joining me today. Jazakumullahu khaira for the questions. If you have asked questions, and may Allah Azza wa Jal continue to protect you all from all harm in this dunya and in the akhirah. And may Allah Azza wa Jal, if He decides to test us, we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbil Alameen, to give us the patience and wisdom to overcome that test and make that test a purification for us from every sin, an elevation of rank. And if anyone is depressed at this moment or struggling with it or knows someone who is struggling with it, let's all make dua for all of them and for ourselves, Ya Rabbal Alameen. We ask that you cure everyone from any illness that they're struggling with at this moment, whether it is psychological, emotional, or physical. So we ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, you are Ash-Shafi, and the mu'afa comes from you, Ya Arham Ar-Rahimeen. Heal everyone. Heal them, heal us all mentally, physically, emotionally, and relieve any hardship that we are going through, and take depression and take anxiety and take pain out of our life, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And if we are struggling with anything, make it elevation for us on the day of judgment. Make it elevation of us and take us to the highest levels of Jannah. Ameen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khaira. We'll see you next week. We're going to be talking about solutions for depression, bi-idhnillah rabbil alameen, at the same time, inshallah, at the same platform. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khaira. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa an. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.